This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Welcome to Buckets. My guest today is a Michael Jordan enthusiast, a movie rapper, and a Washington Wizards stan.
It's true.
Please welcome to the
Billy
show.
Billy Scafuri.
Utkarsh Ambudkar.
You're getting buckets.
You're not supposed to talk until after the theme song.
Sorry.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Filling in for Billy.
Yeah, is UTK. UTK, wow.
Here I am.
I thought after the Oscars thing, I wouldn't be able to get you back on the pod.
Dude, the people out there listening to the Buckets podcast, it's just the Buckets, but we getting buckets.
That's right, double.
Should know that I watch Jake and Amir videos exclusively. I watch Jake and Amir videos, Fortnite highlights,
right.
Those SB Nation rewind. Like last night I watched, they do these mini 30-minute docs on basketball players. Last night I watched Untitled, the Karl Malone and John Stockton story.
Wow.
Why they never won a title.
Yeah, is it just a picture of Michael Jordan for 30 minutes?
It's Jordan, it's the Sonics, it's the Spurs, it's...
Basically 20
Rockets.
Years of attempts.
Oh, yeah. 18
getting closer
years.
And closer and closer.
Yep. Clyde the Glide and never getting there. And just blowing it because Karl Malone couldn't make free throws. That's right.
The mailman doesn't deliver on Sundays.
No, sir, he does not, said Scottie Pippen.
Okay. I wanted to start off with a warm-up just to get us on thinking about basketball.
Yes.
You're more of a historian, I would say, than most of my other guests.
Yep.
So I'm going to let you choose a year.
Okay.
And then you're going to rattle off as many all-stars from that year. You could choose any year you want. I'll look it up.
You choose the year because
okay.
I don't want them to think I planted it.
Okay. 1997?
Okay, 97.
1997 NBA All-Star teams. This is back when we didn't even have team captains, if you can imagine.
Nope, you guys. And I believe
good old-fashioned West versus East.
West versus East rocking their own jerseys, the home and away versions.
Is this the KG to Kobe alley? Is this the first Kobe All-Star game?
97, let's...
Or maybe 97, 98, somewhere around there.
Let's find out. So 97.
I'm still looking at 1997 NBA All-Star game rosters. Yeah.
Tell me when you're ready.
Oh, I got it pulled up. Oh, there's some great names.
Is this a Kobe year?
This is a Kobe year.
Okay, so then starters. So you have Kobe, Eddie Jones, Shaquille O'Neal, Nick Van Exel.
Sorry, that's 96, but we'll do 96.
Fuck! That's
98. That's 98.
Is it?
Yeah.
I fucked up.
No, I fucked up because I was looking at the other year. You're right about you're right about Kobe, Eddie Jones, Nick Van Exel. And Shaquille O'Neal. That's four of the Western All-Stars in the 1998 game.
And
this is the one at MSG, the one that you're thinking of with everybody wearing their own jerseys.
Okay, so then is there Gary Payton?
Gary Payton starting next to Kobe, his fifth All-Star.
Is Jason Kidd?
Jason Kidd's off the bench for the Suns. So far you've named six Western, not a single Eastern Conference player.
Yeah. Is Tim Duncan there?
Timmy D is there. He's coming off the bench. This is his first All-Star, much like Kobe.
Did we say Kevin Garnett, or is he not there yet?
We didn't say him, but he is there.
Okay, so that's...
That's about seven or eight players from the West.
Mitch Richmond?
Mitch Richmond is there, too. Sixth All-Star selection out of Sacramento.
David Robinson.
That's correct. San Antonio's own. Are you purposely avoiding
doing
the
East? West, yeah. Is Hakeem Olajuwon on that team?
He is not.
He's not there. Neither is Charles Barkley, I'm guessing.
No, but there is one guy we were already talking about.
Clyde the Glide Drexler? Mailman.
That's right. Mailman was starting his 11th All-Star. And there's only one name left that you haven't gotten. It's pretty funny. A power forward from the Seattle Supersonics.
Oh, Sean Kemp.
No.
Detlef.
No.
Vin Baker.
Okay, that's correct.
Vin Baker. Okay, now we'll go to the East.
Wow. Okay, so that's every All-Star in the West. 1998.
That's it?
That's right.
So then that means Sean Kemp is playing for the Cavs, right?
That's right. Sean Kemp, I didn't realize Cleveland Sean Kemp was an All-Star.
He was for one season. He averaged 20 points for one season.
So it's Payton versus Kemp in that All-Star game.
Yeah.
A lost storyline.
And then he fell off a cliff really fast when the lockout happened in 99.
I see. By the way, this is 22 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're talking
like
about
yesterday.
These stats. Like it was yesterday's
so
game.
So Kemp on the Cavs. Then you have Jordan, Pippen.
Jordan, yes. Pippen, no. I don't know where
Pippen's
he is.
Pippen's not there?
No.
Okay. So Jordan, Pippen. This is harder. Grant Hill.
Grant Hill is starting next to Jordan.
Penny Hardaway?
Penny Hardaway is starting next to Jordan. So it's Penny, Jordan, Grant Hill, Sean Kemp, and then a center.
And this is tough. Probably Mutombo.
That's correct. You're doing great.
So
you named all five starters, and now you need the seven reserves.
Oh, fuck.
There's some good names
here. Patrick Ewing?
No. We got a Boston Celtic.
Antoine Walker.
That's right, employee number eight. We got a Charlotte Hornet.
Glenn Rice.
That's correct. We got another Atlanta Hawk.
Steve Smith.
You're naming them all so quickly, like you're reading it. Yes.
Steve Smith.
Steve Smith's first. Antoine Walker's first. Glenn Rice is third. And then we got some classic names. Miami Heat point guard.
Miami Heat point guard. Tim Hardaway.
Correct.
Alonzo Mourning.
Zoe's not there.
Zoe's not there?
But you know who it is? Is the center from the Indiana Pacers in his first.
Rick Smith.
That's right.
Is Reggie Miller there?
Reggie Miller is there.
Wow.
Miller and Smith.
It was tough for... See, that's like a hot potato thing between Reggie Miller, Steve... Basically, the other guard, the off guard.
Right. The two guards.
Because Penny and Jordan kind of owned the mid-90s. And so Steve Smith, Reggie Miller, they would kind of fight over who would get that third spot.
I see.
Tyrone Hill isn't there, is he?
He is not. You got one player left, and it was his only All-Star appearance. He played balled out in 1998 and never again. A New Jersey Net.
Yeah, Jason Williams.
That's right. Yeah. Jason Williams. All right. That's the All-Star game.
So he fed me. To be fair, Amir gave me a lot of help.
No, I just named teams and you rattled. Atlanta Hawks, boom, you went straight to Steve Smith. You knew.
I do know.
All right. Do you remember yesterday's All-Star game? I know we're talking about this from 22 years ago.
Yeah, of course.
You have
it was
a clear
amazing.
Picture. Yeah. All-Star weekend this weekend.
It was finally a great, I mean, it was a all-time All-Star game. The last one that I can remember that was this entertaining was when Marbury and Iverson brought the East back. In like 03 or 02.
That's right. They were down like 20-something in the fourth quarter.
That was the last time. And maybe that one when Jordan hit the quasi-buzzer beater over Sean Marion.
That baseline fadeaway?
Yeah.
That
and
rainbow
then,
shot?
And then I think Garnett got fouled on the next possession and fucking ruined it.
You're
the refs
still mad about
ruined
it.
Yeah, it was awful. We talked about it last time.
All right, so what do you attribute the... Because a lot of people are praising this Elam ending, this ending where we're playing till 157. Mm-hmm. Did you like that at all?
I liked what it did to the players, for sure.
It wasn't very traditional, but it was interesting to see.
It was super fun because it kept you interested in the game.
Yeah.
It, like, added a certain element of confusion, so your brain had to be calculating what was happening, right?
And the players were doing that as well.
Right.
Do we go for three? It kind of felt like a pickup game.
It felt like a
two wins it, but we don't need it. We can also get a one.
Yeah, that was cool. The ending, it felt like something we were all familiar with.
Right.
Like, we know those stakes. We know, like, James Harden's going to go for the three.
All right.
Like, we know... I mean, essentially what happened is Kyle Lowry called offensive foul. And everyone was like, you can't call fouls on the last possession. He's like, no, check it up.
Hit a game-winning three.
Technically, yeah.
That would have been
like,
a fight in like a pickup game where it's like he made a three. He's like, no, that was a charge, man. That's a charge. You can't call a charge.
That is a fight.
On game point.
That's 100% fight. And then you just hear the cacophony of the 24-hour fitness gym just yelling. Everyone knows.
He pushed off.
They got to get... soundproofing in a 24-hour fitness.
it's too echoey.
Yeah, oh my God, it's awful. But yeah, I thought it was super exciting. And I think what was really cool was that I think we finally have some parity in terms of our alpha dogs in the NBA. And like the universe, the game is choosing our heroes for us.
Although it seemed like Team LeBron had more alpha dogs. Like, he chose, like, the studs, and Giannis was building, like, kind of, like, the best, like, team of complementary players.
Giannis,
like, he went for Lowry and Siakam and Embiid, and LeBron's
Giannis
just like, I want the best player from every team.
It almost felt like Giannis was choosing, like, a international team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was like, let me just get my boys who are sort of underappreciated.
Yeah.
And underused. Like, Jokic... played like 10 minutes.
That's right. He made one shot and started celebrating in like the third quarter.
Jokic played. Who else barely played?
Ingram barely played.
Yeah, that was weird. He only played 8 minutes in the whole game.
I saw he led the game or his team in plus minus. So when he was in, he was great. And then they just didn't really let him play. It's a game for older All-Stars, I think.
Devin Booker barely got to play.
All these first-timers don't get a lot of run in the All-Star games.
But dude, unsung hero who came out of nowhere.
Chris Paul?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Balling out of control.
So it was the four starters and then Chris Paul instead of Luka Doncic. It seemed like LeBron was also coaching the team. Where it's like, all right, now we got my boys. This is who I want.
Chris Paul controlled the game.
You know, he had his first alley-oop. He had never finished an alley-oop in an NBA game.
I was so astounded by that. And it was funny because they, like, cut away.
Yeah, I was like, no, or, like, it cut into the game. It cut into the play halfway through, and then, like, you see Chris Paul throwing it down.
And you're like, you should have captured all of this.
You know who threw it?
Russell Westbrook.
Yes, how weird is that? How funny is that?
He played like shit, too. Two yeah. for ten. But I think that's the thing. Like, the universe, the game, right? I believe that the game... I'm super Rasheed Wallace about this shit. Like, uh-huh. The game chooses its heroes.
Okay.
And that game was so special because it was like, these are the guys. Like, it was legit, like, Giannis... First of all, Giannis is so dope that it was one on two. It was like Giannis.
How about that block again? Like Giannis blocking LeBron felt like a very special moment too. Like the whole thing
twice
felt scripted, yeah. And at the rim, like that was the closest you can get to a goaltending without a goaltending.
Yeah,
he met the ball at the same time as the backboard.
Yeah, yeah. First he baby boyed him like with the fadeaway. Yeah. Where you don't even jump. You just put your hand up on your little cousin.
That was a real fadeaway that he swatted.
It was him versus LeBron and AD.
Yeah.
And Giannis just, like, bullied him through. Embiid had some good stuff. He had a really cool...
fake spin move.
Yeah, he had a dream shake on LeBron. That was cool.
That was cool.
But what you feel is, like, it's kind of cool and good for the game that LeBron still is, like, a genius basketball player.
Highest basketball IQ?
I think him and Chris Paul were the smartest people on the court.
Yeah.
Like, by a landslide. And Kyle Lowry, actually. But, like, in more of, like, a sneaky kind of way.
He's such a... flopper, sneaky. He's like the John Stockton type, where it's like he knows how to game everything.
Yeah, he's Stockton. He's cut from the Stockton, Bill Laimbeer.
Like, oh, he's constantly bullying into me, or like, I'll get hit and throw my head back, try to get the fouls.
He's got under-athletic white guy game.
But he's so good at it. Fuck.
He really is. And he's, but like, the game did not let James Harden get the game winner.
No.
The game was like, I don't like the way you play. You're bombing threes. You're averaging 38 a game. No, I'm putting Kyle Lowry in front of you. You're getting an offensive foul, and you do not get the game winner, Mr. Harden.
And he could have had the game winner, that wide open layup where the two players went to, I think it was LeBron.
Yeah,
and then he left Harden wide open underneath.
Well, I think they were trying to play cat and mouse. I think he was just trying to play like toy.
Right, but they were down. I think they needed 1 point at that point. He had a wide open lane, and he kicked it out to the corner.
Yeah, I don't understand why he did that either. But Harden played like somebody who's in the top 10, but not the top three. The top three, I mean, Paul is like a wild card.
Chris Paul.
Yeah, but the top three were clearly LeBron, AD, and Giannis. Oh, and then Kawhi is just a fucking machine.
Yeah.
Kawhi was actually the best player on the court. It's like in Toronto when Vince Carter was playing with T-Mac. And Carter would get all the shots, but you were like, I think this T-Mac dude is actually significantly better.
He just doesn't windmill jam it.
Yeah, he's just not getting the same amount of shine.
Is Kawhi the closest thing we have to a Michael Jordan type of player? Like,
I would
low
say,
block, unstoppable, three when needed, and great defense?
I think his game is too boring to be MJ.
He was like an average player who learned how to play basketball as good as MJ. So it's not as fluid looking, but like the results are seemingly identical.
It's, you know, they make fun of him and say he's a robot.
Yeah.
It's exceptionally efficient. I think he is the wing version of Tim Duncan.
Oh, that's
which makes
good.
A lot of sense. Tim Duncan was I think the best power forward. Top three all time.
Yeah.
Like, and just technically speaking, he had so much stuff on the block and later in his career could hit an open three. Always gave you like 22 to 23 and 15 or 12.
Right.
Yeah, like never.
And there was no defense that could stop him. Like,
no.
He would face you up and either bank it or body you and jump hook or body you and get to the rim.
And it makes sense that Kawhi, coming from that sort of Spurs. The fundamentals that organization builds and Pop builds, it makes sense that Kawhi has a Tim Duncan quality to him.
Right.
But he ain't flashy.
No, not at
he
all.
He doesn't have flash.
He's got threes and he's got some lefty dunks sometimes. He's a little flashier than his personality, I would think.
Yeah. He was lights out. He's really fun to watch because there's something really satisfying about watching a guaranteed point.
Yeah.
Like knowing that whatever this person does is going to be the right basketball move, knowing that like he can literally take the ball from anyone. That's anytime right. he wants.
Yeah.
The dude is a bully in his the best kind of way.
Like his hands huge. Are genetically modified to steal basketballs.
Such a great game. So also so refreshing in a way. And maybe this is going to come off like hater talk, but like Kyrie not being there.
Steph not being there.
Steph not being there. Durant, no Draymond. I missed Clay, but like no Draymond.
Cat, no Cat.
No Cat was rough. Like, you could have easily replaced Donovan Mitchell for Cat.
Right.
Like, Donovan didn't give you much stuff.
No, also, the younger guys didn't play much.
Also, like, Bradley Beal should have been there.
Yeah, that was a weird part.
Dude,
what Beal... is he averaging, 29?
Dude, 29 a game. They're three games out of eighth place. Beal should have been there. Yeah, he'd have given you some stuff.
So my question is it... What can we attribute to this great ending? Is it the fact that they were playing till 157, or was that kind of just like a coincidence that this game would have been close either way? Was it the Kobe factor? Was it the fact that they were all playing for their recently deceased friends? Was it the every quarter meaning something with the charity that made every individual quarter feel like its own mini game?
I think, the boring answer is all of the above. Yeah. I think that the Kobe thing was really, I mean, it's exceptional. I haven't really been able to watch a game after he passed away. Like, something sort of like the air kind of left the proverbial building.
Especially that week with the 24-second violations, the 8-second violation. They were playing games that day.
Yeah, and you and I were texting that whole day. As I'm sure you were texting with a lot of people, as I was too.
I was getting condolences, like it was my close friend that passed away.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
I mean, he was definitely in my life for longer than certain friends of mine.
It's bananas. And I found out afterward that like Pitch Perfect was his favorite movie.
That's right, from Dwight Howard.
Yeah, he said that and I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh my God, I saw this dude at so many games and I never bothered him. Like I never...
I wonder if he recognized you from that.
Probably not. I'm going to guess he'd be like, I don't want to bother this Indian dude in case it's not the Indian dude I'm looking for.
So let's touch on this real quick.
I think the Kobe thing was huge. I think the feeling in the building.
That was like the Chris Paul and Kobe thing. They were like all-star buddies. They never lost. They always played hard. And then Chris Paul is saying that he came up with this idea to like reinvigorate and like turn it into a more competitive game. The best pickup game in the world, as Kobe said.
Which it did. I think that 157 thing was really interesting. But I also think it's because there's a real alpha dog struggle happening. Like there's real stakes to who's better. And it's really fucking close.
Yeah.
And LeBron and Antetokounmpo, those motherfuckers want to be the best. They want to beat the shit out of each other.
That's right.
And the extensions of their competition were just there.
Yeah.
It really felt like LeBron versus Giannis. It was the perfect team captain shit. Yeah. Like LeBron versus Steph, you're like, whatever, dude. Like, right. You know.
It's that LeBron look to Steph after he blocks him.
Yeah. And also their games are just so vastly different.
Right.
That like, how can they possibly compete? Like Steph is never going to fucking put it back in LeBron's face at the rim.
No.
But like the fact that Giannis is like, I'm 7 feet. I'm built like a motherfucking Mack truck. Like I am you with a few more languages under my belt. Like
10 years younger.
And 10 years younger. And just like watching that happen and AD being like Giannis's age and being like, no, I'm coming too. But like, I think that's what made it hyper competitive. But it always helps when you have a end goal.
Yeah. And the fact that it was, when it got to like 140, it's like, okay, this ending is going to be cool. Like it, and the fact that it got to next basket wins was even more incredible. Are you okay with it ending on a free throw? Was that kind of anticlimactic?
I think, you know, in hindsight, you'd want it to end on a shot.
Yeah.
But I didn't really care. Because at that point, you're so stressed out. You're like, I just want the game to end.
Because
you get worried. I'm sure every GM and coach and player is like, you don't want to see anyone get injured.
Because
that is playoff intensity with the best players playing their best. It was the best game, the best quarter of basketball I've seen in maybe ever.
It felt like a game 7 fourth quarter.
It was so so dope, man.
It was great. It was awesome.
And watching, like, who's scared? Like, James Harden hot potatoing and, like, you know, Embiid not being able to execute down the stretch. And Giannis being like, yo, dude, if you make it to the finals, you're not going to be able to win if you can't shoot an 18-footer.
That's
like,
right.
You're not going to be able to bully these boys.
That's right.
Like, because LeBron, I think the Lakers are coming out of the West.
Ooh, I'd like to talk about that in a minute, but continue.
But, like, just seeing players' weaknesses and even seeing, like, LeBron, like, he's lost a significant amount of speed on his first step.
And it's athleticism. Just, I mean, he's still, like, probably, like, the 10th most athletic player, but the fact of the matter is he used to be, like, number one by far.
Yeah, like, that block at the rim with Giannis.
That would not have happened.
Because it's not a layup.
That's right.
That's a freaking, he's going 2 feet above the rim, cocking it back, and jamming it down Giannis's throat.
Yeah.
The, much like, you know, remember when Kobe put his nuts on Dwight Howard's neck?
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
That was Dwight's rookie year.
I think. And Kobe just fucking bagged him on the back of the head.
Yeah.
He was like, how's this feel? And Dwight's like, I don't know, pull my finger.
Soft.
It was so exciting, man. I'm so happy for the NBA, and I'm happy for us, the fans. And I'm really stoked for, I think it was a great gesture that they gave a shit. I think Kobe would have
been proud.
Appreciated that.
Yeah, I agree.
Kobe and Gigi, and they would have liked that.
Did you watch the dunk contest? Any qualms about how it ended? Saw the highlights, saw the dunks.
No, I mean, controversy's good. Like, the guy won, Aaron Gordon needs, he's got other things he needs to worry about.
Yeah.
Like, if you lose a dunk contest, like, bro, you should be averaging 20 and 10 every night. What are you doing?
Don't worry about the windmills off the side.
Yeah, worry about your 14.1 points per game and the fact that you're, like, not, you know, living up to the athletic potential that you have.
You talk about nervous GMs. Imagine, like, whoever the or a Magic GM is, like, when Gordon brings out Taco Fall to jump over, he's like, well, we don't need to do that. Like,
well, and, but out. Also, like, Taco Fall bent over, like, 9 inches.
Yeah.
He went from 7'1 to 6'5, which for Gordon is like a walk in the park.
It's like he got a little push off, a little thigh into the back of the
yeah,
head.
Yeah, it wasn't...
It wasn't the cleanest dunk.
It wasn't clean, and also because we've seen Nate Robinson jump over Dwight Howard,
mm-hmm.
It's not that impressive.
Yeah, we've seen people jump over other people.
But, like, an off-the-backboard East Bay funk dunk...
the is, J.R. Ryder?
Yeah, is fucking awesome.
Yeah, that was a clean dunk, too.
And that young guy, whose name I can't even remember
Derek Jones
right now.
Jr.
Derek Jones Jr., like, yeah.
That floats.
He needs that. Like, that's good for him. Aaron Gordon losing, you know, is good for him. Zach LaVine not making the All-Star team, I think, is a good thing.
Because it drives him?
I would hope so. I think Beal is going to come out after All-Star break, and I think the Wizards are actually going to get that 8th seed in the playoffs.
Ooh,
because I
right.
think he's going to play so angry.
Hold that thought. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the second half of the season in quotes, because we all know it's more like 28, 27 games.
Right.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, you were talking
welcome
about...
Welcome back to Jake and Amish.
you're talking about one... Well, I want to focus on the Lakers making the title, because that gets
me excited. Yeah!
You think in a Western Conference Finals of the Lakers and Clippers, the Lakers actually have the advantage?
Totally.
Sell me on that, because I want to believe.
Can I ask you what your trepidations are? Like,
yeah.
Why would you think the Clippers would win?
Number one, Kawhi. He might be the best playoff player in that series.
Okay.
Number two, the depth. I don't quite trust our point guard play with Rajon Rondo either starting or coming off the bench against the Clippers' depth. They have Lou Will, Trez, Reggie Jackson all off the bench. I trust them a little bit more against the Lakers' bench. what the Lakers' advantage is right now. They have continuity. They have chemistry. They got this Mamba thing hanging over their head where they're playing for a greater purpose, a greater goal. And it seems like they're more all in this year. It's funny because I think the Clippers are made to be a better regular season team and the Lakers are better, are equipped to be a better playoff team. And right now it's kind of the opposite. The Lakers are winning more regular season games for whatever reason. But what makes you think that the Lakers can beat the Clippers? Because they haven't even done that this year.
The Clippers are not as good as people think they are.
They do think that they're either title favorites or like second or third, top three.
And everyone keeps saying, and let's see how these last 28 games go. Mm-hmm. Like Reggie Jackson, I think, is a highly overrated player. I think it's very clear how overrated he was with that Detroit contract.
You just think he's more like a great player on a bad team kind of guy. Put up numbers.
He wasn't even great on Detroit. Like, he's not even a great on a bad team guy.
Like, okay.
But, you know, and just as a quick aside, it's just so sad when you look at, like, you could have had a team, Durant, Harden, Westbrook, Reggie Jackson, Serge Ibaka, Steven Adams.
They were all sort of there at the same time.
Yeah.
They made the finals at age like 19.
You could have had six titles, Oklahoma City.
Now you love Reggie Jackson. You're talking about him being the sixth man of this team.
Seventh or eighth man. Yeah, if he's a sixth man, seventh man. That's the thing about the playoffs, though, is you don't need Reggie Jackson to be the man.
He'll be the 10th man on the Clippers team.
You just need one 10-minute stretch of an important game where he hits two buckets, gets a key.
The Eddie House.
Yeah.
Or it's like, who is this guy? It's the beginning of the fourth quarter. Right. We just took our lead from 1-9. Mm-hmm.
And he'll force a key turnover, and he'll probably, like, he knows he has big game chops.
I'm already sad. Why are you, you're selling me on the Clippers now. I told you to tell me why the Lakers are going to win.
That's why maybe the Reggie Jackson thing will work. But here's the thing but the Clippers aren't winning as many games as everyone's like, they're going to win. They're going to coalesce.
They'll turn it on. They'll figure it out.
Turn it on. Like, dude, I don't know, man, because PG's looking weird. Kawhi is Kawhi. Lou Williams has lost a step. Like, you know, Montrez is Montrez. He doesn't have big game experience. Mm-hmm. And who else is on that team that's, like, getting buckets?
Marcus Morris they just added. No, Shamit can maybe make a three or two.
No, Shamit doesn't have the stuff. Marcus Morris, I mean, not Shamit is whatever.
Their biggest weakness is the center. I mean, they start Zubats, and then they go to a 6'8" Montrezl Harrell.
And Marcus Morris doesn't pass the ball. He doesn't move the ball. He's a ball stopper.
Yeah.
So he might get you 12 or 13, but, like, easy to shut down. Because you got, on the other end, you got JaVale, you got Dwight, you got AD, and LeBron.
Yeah.
That is a big, big lineup. And Dwight, athletically, is playing out of his mind.
Those are tall boys.
Those are tall boys that move fast. Like, they're not slow, tall boys.
No.
They're big, big boys. Also, on the flip side, you got Danny Green, who is a playoff nightmare. Mm-hmm. He is one of the all-time... He's the Robert Horry of his generation.
Yeah. Between San Antonio and Toronto.
Yeah, he's all-time when it comes to clutch.
Yeah.
Like, totally unsung hero, but always shows up. Avery Bradley has big game experience.
Oh, Pat Bev, we haven't talked about.
Oh, Patrick Beverley is a wild card, and he'll create problems, but he, you know... I think him and Rondo will cancel each other out.
Do you want to... I disagree with that just because I'm very low on Rondo. But would you sign up for a Lakers-Clippers Western Conference Finals?
100%. But who... Yeah, Rockets, no. Jazz, too young.
Denver,
no chance.
OKC is a wild card. And
no,
then whoever makes
OKC can steal a couple games, I feel like, in the first round.
The weird thing is that, like, those other three teams, if you want to say that, in the West, Denver, Utah, and
Dallas,
all give the Clippers problems. And they don't give the Lakers problems at all. Houston, too.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, the
Clippers... And then the Clippers beat the Lakers, but the Lakers have no problem with Denver, with Utah, with Houston.
Houston is really weird. Because they're doing something we've never seen before.
Did you see that game against the Lakers where they started PJ Tucker at center and brought in nobody else over like 6'7"?
Yeah, that's going to be how they play.
Yeah, and they beat the Lakers.
They beat the Lakers, but that's just a shooting night. Like if they shoot 45% from three, then they'll win a game. Mm-hmm. If they shoot 28% from three, they will lose the game. And which stands to reason, you can't shoot 45% in a seven-game series. Like it's just not going to – I mean, history says that.
That's right.
So I don't know what the fuck Daryl's doing. I think Daryl's probably
your friend Daryl Morey.
I'm like, bro, I hit him up last week. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? And now he knows
Does he respond to texts like that?
Yeah, we text back and forth on a regular basis.
Gonna need to read those after the show ends, but we'll keep it offline. Like,
also, the Rockets just signed Jeff Green and Damari Carroll.
Yeah, just like, more 6'7" wings.
But Jeff Green is a bum. Jeff Green is objectively awful, and Damari Carroll hasn't played well in 3 seasons.
That's right. So these are buyout guys.
Well, I hit him up. I was like, why don't you get Jamal Crawford? Y'all aren't playing defense anyways.
If you just need buckets.
Yeah, get Jamal Crawford. And he's like, I'm not going to get Jamal Crawford. Well, he's 40 years old, and he really is a sieve on defense. And his shot from deep over the last 2 seasons has been under 35%. So I get it.
Not like, ideal.
Who else was on the market?
As a buyout guy? Darren Collison gave us a little glimmer of hope, and then he re-retired.
He was like, nah, Jesus told me not to.
I mean, this guy was like shooting 40% from three. He was being gifted a starting point guard job on the Los Angeles Lakers, and he turned it down.
Said no. And then the other buyout market, like Tristan Thompson isn't going to get bought out. That would have been really interesting.
That would have been great. He would have been a great help for any team. I mean, these things still might happen. They have until March 1st to get bought out and join a team.
You're bummed that Kevin Love isn't on a different team.
He couldn't get away from Cleveland. And now
they couldn't get rid of him.
No, they wanted an asset back. They wanted all right, this is Kevin Love. Give us a draft pick. And other teams were like, his contract is absurd. You give us a draft pick.
Yeah, they're like, why would we? You're asking us to
take on a dumpster fire. All right, for one postseason run.
Hey, check out this nice dumpster fire.
I would think the Clippers would be like, yeah, let's fucking go all in this year. They have 2 years of Kawhi and Paul George. That's it.
I don't think they're going to win. I think the Lakers, I just feel it in my bones.
Okay, let's fast forward even beyond that. Do the Bucks have a chance against either the Clippers or the Lakers? It's funny to say, do they have a chance? Because they're like 3-0 against them in the regular season, destroyed them. Both, all three games. But
I think that the Bucks.
Or are they just a regular, quote unquote, regular?
Who's coming out
team?
Of the East? The Bucks likely will come out of the East.
If not them, then maybe Toronto, Boston, Phillies. One of those three.
Philly ain't going to do it. If Philly does, then it's going to be the most boring finals ever because they're going to get shit on by whoever comes out of the West. Like the Mavericks would shit on Philly.
Philly's great when they're playing great.
But they're
at
not.
Home. At
they're
home,
not.
They're great.
They got mental issues.
They've got certain issues.
Well, Simmons in a playoff game is useless. Ben Simmons in a playoff game is absolutely useless.
So the Bucks
can't shoot the ball.
Bucks against whoever.
So the Bucks against.
Let's go to the Lakers. Your finals prediction: Bucks over Lakers.
I think
or
it
Lakers
goes because of just how transcendent Giannis is.
Mm-hmm.
I think that could go seven. I think it goes seven because you have Bledsoe isn't going to show up. We know that. They don't have Brogdon anymore to bail him out.
Yeah.
But is Korver is like a husk. But Korver could come in and hit 2-3 big threes. He could have a Steve Kerr game.
That's right. They have a lot of three-point shooters on that team.
Middleton will hopefully be consistent. I like him, but he's a hard guy to root for because I feel like he's pretty inconsistent in big game situations. But I just think experience wins out. I think that
last year wasn't enough experience for them, losing in the conference finals.
They got whomped. They didn't, like, that wasn't close.
Yes, it was. They were up 2-0. They lost in overtime in game three.
They lost in six.
Yeah, they lost four in a row.
Yeah.
They were up 2-0 and lost four in a row.
That's a whomping. That is a fucking whooping.
That's revisionist history. As a Bucks fan, I'm offended.
I think that Siakam doesn't have... He's so good. I love watching him.
He's great. He looked like when he was wearing in the All-Star jersey, he's wearing like blue or red, and he's the number 24. I'm like, this is Paul George, basically. He's like a younger Paul George right now.
He looks great. I don't think he has enough stuff on the block defensively to stop Giannis. Van Vliet is incredible. Gasol, Ibaka could double up, but Giannis is unstoppable.
You know what's so sad? It's like Toronto's such a good team. It's like if they only had a Kawhi Leonard type,
they would be
the favorites in the East and maybe the favorites in the league. Why did he leave Toronto? I'm still offended as a Laker fan that he left Toronto.
I don't know, man. I think he just wanted to be in LA.
Yeah.
It'll be crazy if he wins three titles with three different teams.
If he takes the Raptors to a championship and then next year wins a championship with the Clippers, it might be like the greatest achievement in basketball history. No other superstar has taken two teams that have never won a title and done it in back-to-back years.
Well, he'll like rocket into the conversation for top 10.
Yeah.
He'll go from like 56 to like 4.
He might pass Kobe if he does that.
I think,
like, Kobe did it back-to-back with the Lakers.
Well, that's the thing about ranking people is, like, what makes a player special? Is it if they do a great impression of another player, like Kobe did?
Yeah, of Jordan.
Yeah, or is it when you see anomalies, like a Shaquille O'Neal, who you'll never, ever see again?
Before or after.
Yeah. Kawhi is like unlike anything I've ever seen.
Play. Giannis is like that too. Like, what Giannis have you seen is that's a like fucking Giannis?
Yeah, they call him a freak. Right. Giannis is bananas. Like, if Porzingis could get his shit together,
he'd be
like,
Giannis.
Luka is bananas, dude.
He's 20.
Luka's MVP. Luka's gonna win 2 or 3 MVPs.
He's averaging 29, 8, and 8.
That
as
dude
a 20-year-old.
Is so fun to watch.
LeBron prime numbers as a 20-year-old.
Yeah,
pudgy. Small forward.
And he's got so much fuck you in him. Like, Luka does stuff and just looks around like, oh my God, I just put my nuts on you. He's so cheeky. I love how cheeky he is.
He's Do you think he's too Euro? A little too complaining? A little too soft? Or is he just a 20-year-old and he doesn't?
I think complaining is unfortunately just a part of basketball now.
Yeah.
I think the AAU and everything, like, anybody who went to the Chris Paul Blake Griffin Clippers games.
Lob City.
Yeah, like, I'll never think anyone's whining after seeing those games.
Yeah.
Because those dudes cried for, I had season tickets, and those dudes cried for every play. That's why I didn't renew them. I was like, I can't watch this kind of basketball.
You sort of wanted to be a Clippers fan, but it didn't stick.
I tried so hard, and that team was so unlikable.
Are you still a Wizards fan?
Ride or die, baby.
Washington?
I keep up with my guys. I feel really bad. It's been a depressing season, not because of John Wall, but for several other reasons. Marcin Gortat retired, as you know.
The Polish hammer.
You know, we're not playing particularly well, and I felt really, really bad that we let Isaiah Thomas go.
Yeah,
and
for nothing.
Now IT is... He's out of the league.
He's floating.
He's gone.
He's there if anybody wants him.
He's not. No one's going to want him.
Not even like a Derrick Rose-style reclamation project in Minneapolis or something next
year? Well, he was the starting point guard for the Wizards for the first half of the season and couldn't really do anything. I mean, he shot 40% from three, but he's a defensive non-entity. But
yeah, he's a traffic cone.
And he, you know, averaged 12 points a game. And I don't know in the playoffs if that's worth it.
It's weird that just 3 years ago, he was winning series for the Boston Celtics. Seemingly the same type of player.
See, that hurts. And I still don't understand it, even though I'm old enough to know it because of my game.
Yeah.
But, like, the way that injuries just diminish and decimate someone, and they look the same, but they're just not.
Yeah. Is it
and
the
it's
explosion?
So
like
hard.
He can't get to the rim as much anymore.
Yeah, it's settling. A bummer. But I think the Wizards are 3 or 4 games out of the 8th spot, and I think there's a real chance that they get there. And then they get, you know.
Well, their offense is great. Like, they're an entertaining team. They're definitely not the depressing team that people thought the Wizards would be going into the season.
No, they're the top 10 offense. They might even be top 5.
Right, and it's like these players who are, like, seemingly...
Oh, Bertans.
Yeah, Davis Bertans hitting
Dude,
threes.
Bertans.
Rui's playing great. Mo Wagner was playing great.
Bertans has taken, like, 15 threes a game.
He was like the apple of everybody's eye. Like, can we get Bertans? How do we get Bertans out of Washington? I mean, he's just an assassin. Like, 7 feet tall, hitting shooting 8 threes a game, making 4 of them.
You know what I'm hoping is going to happen? John Wall for Ben Simmons.
You think John Wall can play basketball again, or how's he looking out there?
I don't know. But I think his contract is such that John Wall... Because Philly, Embiid and Simmons aren't going to stay together.
Not a good matchup.
That moment in the All-Star game when Simmons picked Embiid's pocket is a harbinger of what's to come, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, that happened, I go, oh, those motherfuckers aren't playing together.
Who would you rather keep? Who would you rather build around?
I think you have to... It's tough, because talent-wise, Embiid is your guy.
Yeah.
He is...
Peak Embiid is better than peak Simmons.
Yeah, but... Simmons can stay on the court.
Simmons is another freak. We're like, when have we seen a 6'10" point guard who looks like that?
He's so good defensively.
Yeah.
He's so good. And if he was on a team that where he could sort of Jason Kidd, where the paint wasn't being clogged, like if you switched him out of, like
Russell
if you
Westbrook?
Flipped and, Russell Westbrook, is that what you were just saying?
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was just going to say.
All right.
If you flipped him for Westbrook, Westbrook goes to the 76ers. I mean, Westbrook, unfortunately, is one of my favorite players, but I don't think he'll ever win.
He doesn't play quote-unquote winning basketball.
Yeah, he doesn't have the things that make him great don't lead to wins, and when those things go away, he won't be good.
It's weird that his shot went away before his athleticism. Usually it's the other way around. It's like, oh, now he's settling for his shot. But now it's like, no, he's still a freak. He's getting to the rim, but he's not shooting threes anymore.
His jump shot has always been atrocious. He's the worst three-point shooter of all time.
That's right.
And that's not a hyperbole.
He's another guy where it's like, he's lost a step or two athletically, but still like his top 10. I mean, he's so good.
He scares people.
But then you see him like 7 years ago, these highlights of like him literally like flying over people, dunking from the free throw line, sweating, screaming, yelling.
Yeah.
That was peak scary Westbrook.
Oh, so good. So fun. I think Simmons is the guy that they flip because Embiid has a higher upside.
Yeah.
But then he could easily be
hurt. He's the injury liability.
Yeah. So
I think Simmons is more fun too. Simmons is more fun. Sorry, like not a better personality, but he's more fun to root for. Like he does some crazy things on the basketball court.
Yeah. And he's sort of workmanlike about it, which I like.
Yeah, he doesn't yell a lot or complain a lot. He's not flashy.
They couldn't trade Embiid just because they just can't. That's the problem.
Yeah, he
they
is can't. Silly.
It's like if Denver tried to trade Jokic right now.
Right.
It just wouldn't happen. The fan base would turn on them.
That's right.
But I think Simmons is the better all-around player. I think Embiid needs a traditional point guard that can shoot. And that's
Bradley
not
Beal.
Out there.
Bradley Beal.
No. I'm keeping Beal.
No, you're saying bring Simmons to Washington.
Yeah, bring Simmons to Washington. Simmons is a willing passer. Simmons can get to the cup. He is great at defense, and I think him and Beal together is a really strong combo.
The big question will be, I think Washington's kind of in a holding pattern until we get John Wall back. Like, John Wall's right now not tradable because he hasn't played basketball since these injuries. They want to see what he's like next year and then see, like, if anybody's willing to take the contract. Like, does he look like 90% of his former self? 80%? What's going on there? We don't know yet.
Oh, what a fucking mess.
I forgot he won a dunk contest. John
he
Wall.
Did.
It was like that weird East versus West.
It was like 3-4 years of just, why are we doing this?
He was kind of like a Westbrook light, just like super
athletic.
He was so
fast, but yeah, he can't really shoot.
Dunked in traffic. Yeah, how was his shoot? I forget what John Wall is like. It's been so long. I haven't seen John Wall play. What was peak John Wall against the Raptors in the playoffs?
Peak John Wall was against the Bulls and Celtics. They took the Celtics to 7.
Wow.
2 or 3 years ago.
And he was the best player on that team.
He and Beal, yeah, and Beal missed a fucking jumper with 11 seconds left. This won the game.
But I feel like new Beal with old Wall would be a pretty formidable backcourt.
If Wall has any stuff and if Wall's ego can handle being the highest, being like a complimentary piece to Beal, who is transcendent. Beal is so good, it's not even funny. You don't average 29.8 points a game like being a scrub.
Effortless, too.
So chill. So few actual highlights.
He reminds me of Arenas a little bit in that way.
He's got, yeah, Arenas, but like more even keel. He's like Arenas, but he's better at defense. He's better at distributing the ball.
Better passer.
He's a better passer. He's got more poise.
So do you want them to make the playoffs this year?
I'd love for them to make the playoffs.
More so. You want them to get spanked by Milwaukee versus getting the draft lottery?
Yeah, because I don't even think we have our pick.
Oh, really? That's a shame.
I'm going to guess, if I know anything about Washington, I'm going to guess that we don't have our pick.
Until at least 2029.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to guess that Ernie Grunfeld was like, all right, I'm out of here, but I'm trading these picks.
Traded it for a Tesla. All right,
yeah,
lastly.
Exactly.
Did you get a final finals prediction? Did we get one out of you?
I think
who
Lakers,
over who?
Lakers over Bucks in, my gut tells me 6, but I think it's 7.
That'd be awesome.
I think it's a game 7 in Milwaukee.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
I'll take that. All right, sweet. UTK, thanks for coming by.
You are watching Jake and Amish.
Anything you want to promote, plug? What do you got coming out? You're a busy guy.
What are we? It's February.
What movies are on the agenda? Let me check my phone.
No, man, I'm chilling. I'm doing well. I still have music on Spotify. You guys can listen to the Petty album. Just search Utkarsh and Butkar.
Okay.
And then I've got a movie in July. It's February.
I can't wait. It's going to be so good. Mulan?
It's called Free Guy.
Oh, the Ryan Reynolds one.
Yeah. Mulan is in March, but I'm not in it.
You're not in it?
No. I got cut out of Mulan.
They sent you to New Zealand for 6 months.
Yep.
And cut you out of the movie.
Yep.
Welcome to Hollywood, baby.
It's the business, baby.
But you know what? You were on stage at the Oscars.
I was on stage at the Oscars and kept it together enough to not say, I got cut out of Mulan. Hey, Brad Pitt, I got cut out of Mulan. Anyway, I'm here to dance for you rich people. Oh, man.
How did that happen real quick? I'd like to know how I'm watching the Oscars and like, oh, by the way, UTK is on stage right now rapping about movies. I'm like, wait a minute. I know that guy.
They called me a month and a half ago, Stephanie Elaine, who produced it. She also produced movies like Hustle and Flow and Black Snake Moan, among other things. And her son and I have been friends for a long, long time.
Wow.
And her partner, Lynette, her business partner, who was producing as well, came and saw Freestyle Love Supreme. And they took a shine to me, I guess. And so they reached out and they were like, will you write the opening number for the Oscars?
Holy shit. We're doing a
musical number. We'd like you to write the opening. And I was like, that sounds cool. And they were like, you're not performing it. We'll get somebody...
Steve Martin will rap it.
Yeah, we'll get somebody appropriately famous enough to perform it, but you can write it. And so I wrote like a mock opening.
Okay.
And then they were like, we got Janelle Monáe. And I was like, well, Janelle Monáe's the next prince. She's not going to want to use my lyrics at all. Like, there's no way she's going to be like, wait, what?
Okay.
So Janelle was, and understandably, and as I predicted, was like, fuck that. And so I thought it went away and I was like, all right, well, that sounded really scary anyway, so I'm not going to do that. And then they were like, well, no, we want you to now perform on the Oscars. We're having these segments where like young up-and-comers introduce established stars. And we want you to come on and do a recap halfway through. And I was like, that's significantly scarier.
Now you're on stage.
And okay, sure.
Wow.
And you don't say no.
No.
And then I prepped and it was terrifying and got to see a lot of people and feel like a huge fish out of water. But the response was really positive.
And yeah, you were the best part of the show. Oh,
thanks, man. It was really cool. It was one of those... I assume people have these moments. I had never had one.
Right.
Where you do something and then your phone just lights up like the 4th of July.
Yeah, because 30 million people are watching.
Yeah, I went, got back to my seat and sat next to my wife and I looked at my phone and I was like, dude, there's 450 text messages and it's been 20 minutes. And she's like, yeah, baby. She's Kiwi. She was like, baby, it's awesome. And I was like, I'm freaking out. It's too much attention. But
well, you did great. I think it's on YouTube probably, right?
It's on YouTube if you guys want. I mean,
check
it's
that
out of context. It's very, it's like, all right, cool. Guy in a blue suit rapping.
Just know that it was during the Academy Awards.
Yeah, it was during the Academy Awards, which makes it so much better.
Sweet. All right. Thank you so much again. And thank you guys for listening. We'll be back soon enough. If the Lakers end up beating the Bucks in 7, let's live watch it on the
show.
That
sounds awesome.
Yeah, man.
Shout out Billy Scafuri.
Hi, everybody.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.